Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our Lord Jesus who tells this story. Story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's interesting to look at different paintings of this Bible story. The rich man is always surrounded by friends and servants, tables furnished with food, and the rich man's gaze is always fixed on one of these friends in jovial conversation, or looking over an alluring woman, or perhaps glancing at the platters of delicacies. Poor Lazarus, in the paintings, is surrounded by dogs, often pictured with his eyes toward heaven or with his hands folded in prayer. One artist paints the scenes from outside the house, and it's a great imposing house with a big stone staircase leading up to the front door, and the rich man is making his way up those stairs with a bag of money in each hand, and his eyes are turned down looking at one of the money bags. And Lazarus, in that same painting, is pictured lying sideways on the ground below, beside the staircase, half dead, his tired eyes turned in their sockets, looking up to heaven. Jesus' story of the rich man and Lazarus warns us against greed, against loveless ease. Here, Jesus calls us in this story, does he not, to help and support our neighbor in every physical need, even and especially when he is in pain and poverty. Here, Jesus warns us to beware the love of money, which might turn us away from our neighbor and even away from our God. But above all, Jesus' story teaches us to look to our God in the midst of life's trouble, to listen to his scriptures and their promises, and to set our hearts on the joy and comfort of his coming kingdom. Poor Lazarus. Fortunate Lazarus. He lived in misery, but at his death, God's angels carry him to a place of blessed comfort, together with Abraham and the saints. Lucky rich man. Tragic rich man. He lives sumptuously, but at his death, he goes to Hades. There, in the agony of that fire, the formerly rich man finally lifts his eyes to heaven. He petitions Father Abraham that he might be brought just a few drops of water to cool his tongue. But Abraham denies his request with this reply: "Child, remember that you received your good things during your life, and Lazarus, on the contrary, bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in torment." Jesus is not teaching that there is a direct and necessary causal relationship here. That is to say, not all those blessed with good things in this life are therefore tormented in the next. Nor are all those burdened with bad things in this life, for that reason, comforted in the next. The point, rather, is that what ultimately matters are not the passing things of this age, but rather the blessed comfort or the agonizing torment of the age to come. For that which comes last lasts. The life of the coming age is coming, and it will never end. Jesus granted to his disciple John a vision of this great and permanent reversal. Revelation describes a mighty seventh angel blasting his trumpet and loud voices in heaven declaring, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The redeemed will stand before his throne. They will see Christ's face, and his name will be on their foreheads. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. Not so those who clung to the kingdoms of this age and who worshiped the beast of this age and received its mark. No, they will drink full strength the cup of God's wrath. They will be tormented with fire and sulfur, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image. The kingdoms of this age, the present orders, the present injustices, the present deprivations, the present usurpations, the present humiliations, the present boastings, the present health and prosperity, the present illnesses and weaknesses and tragedies, the present stores of wealth and the present pains of poverty. All that which belongs to this fading epoch is soon to end. For the rich man, it ended abruptly at his death. For Lazarus, too. But what comes next will never end. That which comes last lasts. Take warning. Take comfort. The blessed inheritance of those who trust in Christ is final and permanent, everlasting. Lazarus suffered greatly in the here and now of his daily life, but from the standpoint of the coming age, all that is past. And now, after his death, and here in the company of Abraham and the saints, he has found comfort. Child, remember that you receive your good things during your life, and Lazarus, on the contrary, bad things. But now he is comforted here. Comfort, peace, joy with Christ and with the people of Christ forever. Jesus tells this story as a warning to the Pharisees, who Luke tells us were lovers of money. And so this story also stands as a warning to us, for we too are tempted to love the good things of this life, wealth and earthly honor. Of course, it's not wrong to ask God for our daily bread. Jesus teaches us to do so without guilt, but rather with gratitude. Jesus calls us to receive the blessings which God provides for us in this life, to receive them with thanksgiving: the health of the body, clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all which God gives. For these good things, God be thanked and God be praised. But God has nowhere promised us bounty or uninterrupted ease in this life. He has not promised us honor and recognition in the world's eyes. He has not promised us fine clothes. He has not promised us good things. Not now. Sometimes his people are clothed with sores and sickness. Sometimes his people face heartache over their children, disappointment in their retirement years, seeming failure in the pursuit of their dreams, tragic accidents which bring life screeching to a halt. Sometimes God's people must endure bad things, hurting and humiliation. Sometimes they must live as beggars. What God has promised is that lasting bounty and lasting joy are found in Jesus Christ in the world to come. This is the testimony of Moses and the prophets, to whom Abraham points the rich man and his family. And of course, in the Gospels and the Epistles too, for that matter. These scriptures convey the promises of God, and God does not lie. Whoever turns aside from these divine promises in Christ to set his heart instead on earthly pleasures and riches is a fool, and sometimes, as we see here, a damned fool. Whether we are rich or poor, each of us will die, and each of us will stand in the judgment as a beggar before God. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, we see that God makes beggars rich. St. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." In the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, set aside his unimaginable wealth and dignity and self-sufficiency. He was born in our flesh, took on the form of a beggar, a servant. Cast aside, there was no room for him in the inn. His first bed was a feeding trough for animals. Ah, Lord, though you created all, how weak you are, so poor and small, that you should choose to lay your head where lowly cattle lately fed. Were earth a thousand times as fair and set with gold and jewels rare, it would be far too poor and small a cradle for the Lord of all. Instead of soft and silken stuff, you have but hay and straw so rough, on which as king so rich and great to be enthroned in royal state. And so it pleases you to see this simple truth revealed to me, that worldly honor, wealth, and might are weak and worthless in your sight. Even foxes have their holes, and the birds of the air have their own nests. But the Son of Man in his public ministry had no place of his own to lay his head, and finally his earthly journey came to its destination, Jerusalem, betrayal, rejection, crucifixion. Hanging naked on a cross, men cast lots for his clothing. He was covered in wounds, but no one offered him balm or bandages. Not even the dogs came to lick his sores. But he was surrounded by scoffers and mockers, barking their taunts, laughing at his misery. He was thirsty, and they gave him gall to drink. Rejected by all, deprived of all, he entrusted himself to God. All this for us. None of us here is worthy to ask or inherit anything before God. Not the rich man, not Lazarus, not you, not me. There is only one who is worthy of riches and inheritance before God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And this Jesus, who alone is worthy, shares this inheritance with all poor, sinful beggars who look to him in faith. When you lack and worry and fear and weep, look up. Like the beggar Lazarus, turn your eyes to heaven. All that is Christ's is yours. He has purchased for you an everlasting kingdom with his blood. Come, dear beggars, feast sumptuously on his forgiveness. Come wear the fine purple and linen of his righteousness and sonship. The days of hurting and hungering are almost ended. The feasting and friendship of his everlasting kingdom are almost here. Keep praying. Keep waiting, you beloved beggars. Love your rich neighbors. Help your poor neighbors. For in Christ, you are as rich as Lazarus. Amen. Please stand for the hymn.